don't think that you're going to start in commercial multifamily and get your first deal in 90 days. Like, is it possible? Of course it's possible. But what's more likely is going to take you 12 to 24 months of intentful action of building relationships with people in order to get into those deals. And then once you got them, then it's fun. It gets easy. And I had that like click in my head one day, and I was walking downstairs. And I told my wife, and I was like, man, that was easy. All I had to do is make 4 phone calls and the deal is already like done.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Tim Vitale is a multifamily apartment syndicator residing in Wilmington, North Carolina. He specializes in acquiring value-add apartments in the Carolinas, Georgia, and Alabama. And just this last year, in September of 2021, he left his W-2 job as an assistant VP of finance for a large insurance company. Tim, welcome to the show.
Sam, thanks for having me, man. I'm really excited to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's mine, man. Same 3 questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Can you tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started out with one single family house. I hated the process, got burned on the appraisal. I asked the question of how do I get into the income-based approach method on that appraisal? And that's what pushed me into commercial multifamily. I quit my job in September 2021, just like you said, closed my first deal in August 2021. And this week, closing my 5th deal, it's $20 million of purchase price. Stabilized value is probably around $30 million within the next 12 to 24 months. And looking to grow bigger, doing this full time and looking at a lot of deals and trying to stay in that $5 to $20 million range and get out of graduate, as they say, from less than $5 million deals.
Right. Yeah, man. That's intriguing. So one deal August of last year, and now you're closing your 5th deal here this week.
That's right.
It's a lot of progress. How'd you do it?
Built my platform, right? The best way that you can scale and get into bigger deals with more money and less of your own time is build a platform and become the industry expert. And you might not be the expert, but the more you talk it into existence and the more that you share the wins and the losses with your followers, people are going to relate you as the expert. And you take those people that look up to you and you take their money and you invest it with other operators that are doing big deals because now you're more valuable. You bring more to the table. You might not be able to sign the loan. Like, I can't sign the loan, but I can do everything else that, you know, pertains to closing a deal. And that's incredibly valuable because I built relationships with people that have 20, 30, 40, $50 million net worths, and they don't want to operate the deal. They don't want to raise the money. And I can do all of that and they can sign my loan. So it's a mutually exclusive, you know, relationship that maybe not mutually exclusive, but, you know, mutually beneficial is what I was thinking of in order to bring what I can to the table, get the experience by doing the big deals because they've already been doing them. So how else do you scale? You ride somebody else's coattails and you bring more to the table, or at least what you can, in order to gain that experience and gain that credibility. And then it's kind of, you know, my mastermind this last week, and we talked about a new comfort zone. Scaling into big deals is scary. It's outside of your comfort zone, whether you're coming from single family or fix and flip, whatever, but going from a $5 million deal to a $20 million deal, that's scary. It's outside of your comfort zone. But once you start doing $20 million deals, that's your new comfort zone. So it's always continuing to grow and scale. And the biggest thing you can do is build your platform so that you can establish yourself as an industry leader and start to attract money and deals to you.
Right. Yeah, man. I love that. What are some things that come to mind when you say build your platform? What does that mean?
Whether it's a podcast like what we're on right now or Facebook group, anything that you can be a meetup, like a local meetup. I just moved to Wilmington, North Carolina. I lived here when I went to school, but nobody's really doing multifamily syndications here. Mm. So my platform here in Wilmington is going to be, I'm the guy that you come to if you want to invest your money into a syndication because nobody else is doing it. So start a meetup, be in person, go out there, establish yourself. You know, Facebook groups are everywhere, but it's not to say that you can't grow yours to as big as somebody else's. There's millions and millions and millions of people out there that you're connected with that other people are not connected to. So create that Facebook group, get over those limiting beliefs that the market is saturated because your voice is different than somebody else's and resonate with it much more so than listening to a Grant Cardone, for example.
Right. Yeah, that's really intriguing. Talk to me about offline was, you know, proximity is power. What does that mean to you?
Get in the smallest room as possible. I just flew to my mastermind event that we paid $15,000 to be part of. It's not necessarily cheap, but it's not the most expensive one either. My mentor owns a jet. So I was on his private jet. We flew to Austin, Texas, and I was in a jet with five other people. And one of the guys there, he's like big into crypto stuff. So I learned a ton about that and how he's incorporating crypto into his real estate business with NFTs and blockchain. And then one of the other guys, he's starting a real estate fund. And he was like, oh, well, you know, that instant transfer of trust, because I was in such a small room, he knows that I'm a player. And right. he's like, well, if you get a good deal, I have a fund. I'll fund it for you, right? Mm-hmm. Getting in the smallest room as possible is going to be able to enable you to build those relationships with people that can bring you to the next level and get you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely brilliant. I mean, and has that been one of the ways that you guys have taken down? I mean, five deals in whatever that is, 6-7 months, that's a lot.
Especially. Yeah, we're closing like a deal a month, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. How have you done that?
It's being in proximity. I built my platform. People look at me as an industry leader. They know, like, and trust me. So they'd like to invest money with me. I've got repeat investors now. And the whole proximity is power thing is I have the confidence to say that I can find somebody to sign on a loan, no matter how big, because I have the relationships to do so. So when I first started, I was like, how am I going to find somebody to sign a $2 million loan? And now I'm like, oh my goodness, who do I have to pick to sign this loan? I got too many people. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. And I'm starting to meet people now that have 20, 30, 40, $50 million net worths. And we're going out and we're having a good time. And they see I'm just a hardworking, honest guy that's easy to get along with. And they're like, hey man, actually, you know, you got any big deals coming up? I'll sign your loan. I was like, I didn't even ask for it.
That's awesome. What was that first conversation like? I mean, you know, getting somebody initially out of the gate to say, all right, here, Tim, you got no track record, but sure, I'll sign on the loan. How did that work?
So the first deal is always leveraging the experience of the partners. Leverage your team. You don't know everything. You don't have to know everything. Hell, you don't need to know anything. All you need to do is be able to connect people with other people that do and say, be honest and upfront. And if you label the negatives and you are vulnerable with the person that you're talking to, say, hey, look, sorry, I don't know any of this stuff. I'm learning it. I have a good, solid education. But look at all these people that I've partnered with that have been doing it for 10 years. Look how many deals that they have done. Look at their success and their track record. All I'm doing is connecting you with them in order to get an opportunity to learn from them.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to put that. All I'm doing is connecting you with them, you know, right, and just bringing you in on the opportunity. And so I can learn from them. That's a really good way to put that. And you know what it takes? I think that reframing takes the pressure off of you.
Right.
And for whatever it is, you know, because a lot of times it's a misguided advice, fake it till you make it, which is,
oh, like, God, yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. It's like, if you try to fake it till you make it, you're going to get caught up in your own lies. If you tell people your weaknesses, they can never use it against you because you're the one that told them. That's a good old Tyrion Lannister line right there.
So what's the reference?
Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Okay, sorry.
You never seen it? Oh, yeah. He likes to say that. But yeah, it's true. I mean, if you tell people your weaknesses, they can't offend you or they can't hurt you with it. You told them.
Right. Yeah. Like, I was the one that told you that. Of course I told you I don't have any experience. That's what I just said.
Right.
That's absolutely hysterical. I love that. So then getting that many deals though in the pipeline, I mean, have you done this through partnerships as well? Has that been how this is kind of, I mean, it takes time to not only get traction, but also get the amount of deals coming in. I mean, those are a lot of moving parts all at once. How have you done that?
Well, I'm not the overnight success, right? It took me 2 years to build the relationships with the partners that I have now and the key principals and the investors and the brokers. And yeah, sure, we closed our first deal in August. And then once you start to build that track record, it gets easier and easier and easier. But I only was able to do that because I spent the last 18 to 24 months building the relationships with people that I wanted to be doing business with, right? I didn't know anything at the time, but you keep showing up. You're present. You're active. You're involved. You're learning. You're bringing whatever value you do have to the table, and that's going to open up doors of opportunity for you. And it's all a relationship business. So don't think that you're going to start in commercial multifamily and get your first deal in 90 days. Like, is it possible? Of course, it's possible. But what's more likely is going to take you 12 to 24 months of intentful action of building relationships with people in order to get into those deals. And then once you got them, then it's fun. It gets easy. And I had that like click in my head one day, and I was walking downstairs and I told my wife and I was like, man, that was easy. All I had to do is make 4 phone calls and the deal is already like done.
That's awesome. Yeah. There's a lot of work that goes into that 4 phone call and the deal's done.
Right.
That if you average it out, it's probably nowhere close to that number.
No, nowhere close. I mean, I do it full time now and I basically live in my office on the phone all day, which is great because I love talking with people. Right. But that's how you build your network. That's how you build relationships. You build your platform, become an industry leader, provide value, show people the wins and the losses so that they know that you're human and you're not, you know, somebody that's just always doing amazing deals and you've never screwed up anything. People want to see when you're not doing anything proper and what you learned from it and how you're going to pivot from that so you don't make the same mistake twice.
Tell me about your mastermind. Why did you decide to get into a mastermind and then how did you pick one?
Proximity is power, right? You get into the smallest room and the most expensive room you can afford and the conversations are going to be different. That's ultimately what it was. I met him through a friend of a friend, through a Facebook group, and he started a mastermind. And I was like, you know, I really like what you stand for. I like your personality. I like your growth and your trajectory and like where you're going. And I could see myself doing the same thing. And I was like, I don't know if your mastermind is going to be successful. And I don't know if this is going to be a waste of money, but I did it anyways. And now I'm glad I did because I got to ride on his jet.
That's absolutely awesome. I love that. What does success mean to you? And then where do you see your business going?
You know, I thought success to me was money as I started looking for money, right? Money's not success. I learned through time, through my maturity and my development as an entrepreneur, I learned that the money buys freedom. Time buys freedom. And then I said, okay, well, once I have the time freedom and the money freedom, what am I doing this for? And ultimately, I do this for the sense of fulfillment of helping other people, whether it's placing their money into a deal so that they can beat stock market returns or buying a property from them that they mismanaged and they don't want anymore or whatever the spectrum is, right? There's a lot of opportunity to help other people. So providing value that way is ultimately like why I do. And that sense of fulfillment, somebody saying, thank you, I didn't even know this was a possibility. You just changed their life. Right. You changed their life. And like how powerful and how important is that? And paying it forward every day and saying, everyone should know about this. That's why I created my Facebook group, Making Moves in Multifamily, because everyone should know about syndications and being able to buy a fractional share of a property. You don't have to go out and buy a single family property and do everything yourself. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to have the net worth. You don't have to raise all the money. You don't have to have all of everything. You can have a fractional piece. And when people come together and collaborate in order to work towards a common goal, that is far more exciting and fun and fulfilling to me to keep pushing me through it. That's really what keeps me going. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. The money and the time freedom is cool too, but there's more than that.
For sure. No, that's absolutely fantastic. I think the idea behind that is being a go-giver, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Is going out there and giving and then getting the giver's gain, if you will. It's like you can't outgive.
The law of reciprocity will always pay you back.
Right. That's absolutely intriguing. Tell me again, maybe I've asked you this question, but maybe it wasn't very clear, but how did you select your partners? I mean, it takes time to vet.
I like to use the analogy of it was like if you're married or you're not, but if you meet your significant other, you just know. When I met my wife, literally the next day after the first time I ever met her, I was like, I don't know what it is about her, but I'm going to date her one day. I didn't know that we were going to get married, but we've been together for like 12 years now. When I met my first partner, I mean, I met a lot of different partners. You think, oh, kumbaya, let's try to figure this out together. And we're going to share in this pain together. But I met my partner, Tim Vest, and it was the first time I ever had met him. And we sat outside Starbucks and talked for like 4 hours and they kicked us out. They're like, guys, you got to go. It was kind of that light bulb moment. I was like, man, you and I see eye to eye on everything. You love the things that I hate and I love the things that you hate. But we challenge each other. We keep each other accountable and we get along really well as friends. And I actually reached out to him at first because I was like, well, you're in a mastermind that I wanted to join and your name is Tim V. My name's Tim V. And you like real estate. Let's go get some coffee. You know, it's like, it was stupid, but it's like when you meet that person, you just feel the connection. Like, you know, that it's somebody that you meet, you're going to like, I could do business with that guy.
Right.
Or girl, whatever.
Yeah. That's absolutely intriguing. That's funny. A lot of people struggle when they're scaling, right? They're like, wait, I need, cause you got a partner in this space. I mean, there's rare people that get it done by themselves. That's really intriguing. Is there any other advice you would give to somebody if they were out looking for a partner? What would you say to that person?
Refer it back to like dating. When you're not looking for love, you find it. Don't go out there and purposely say, hi, I'm looking for partners. No, like just go out there and meet people and be genuine. Tell people who you are. So I approach every conversation. I like to use a kind of a puzzle piece analogy. It's, you know, everybody's a puzzle piece and you have like male and female ends and like you plug into each other and other people can help you out, right? Keep that in mind. So approach every conversation with introducing yourself and who you are and your background and what your interests are, right? Because if you guys don't have similar interests or like have some kind of common denominator connection ground, then it's probably not going to go that far to begin with. Number two, tell people your superpowers. How can you help them? How can you provide value first? Here's who I am. Here's what I'm amazing at. And I can help you. What do you need help with? Let me help you. And then the third thing is to say, hey, these are my superpowers and this is what I can help you, but don't ask me for help with this, this, and this. These are my weaknesses. I don't like doing these things. And everyone's always like, well, how can I provide value to you? And it's like, well, what's your value? And they're like, I don't know. You got to find out who you are first. If you approach every conversation with that puzzle piece analogy, you're going to try to put your puzzle picture together. You're going to put your puzzle piece down a whole lot of different times and you're going to try to fit it all together. But eventually you're going to find all the pieces that interlock and make a beautiful picture. And you're only going to be able to break down that barrier, you know, that trust barrier and that vulnerability barrier by telling people, like showing them your underbelly. Tell them what you're amazing at and tell them what your weaknesses are. Because if you can skip through all of the nonchalant, you know, crap that you talk about, that's not going to get you anywhere. And you get right down to the meat and potatoes of your value and your weaknesses. People are going to either come to you because they can help you, or they're going to come to you because they want your help.
I love that. Both of those are absolutely true. Tim, thank you for taking the time to come on today.
Yeah, I had so much fun. This is like a really high energy, fast podcast. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Go to my website, upsidecapitalgroup.com, or go find me on Facebook, Making Moves in Multifamily.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you again, Tim. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.